Thank you. You may be seated. Next slide, please. From Ephesians 6:19, it says, "Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for this, for your word and for this word, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful that it doesn't count on us, but Lord, it counts on you. Lord, you showed me so many wonderful things as I studied your word. I pray, Lord, that there will be a nugget that each one can take home with them, that you would minister through them and strengthen their faith walk with you through this day, through this week, through the coming weeks, through the coming months, and through the coming years. Until you return, may our faith be found strong in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, can you guys see up there? I'm going to have you go to the slides, Ephesians 6:10. Can you guys read for me from up there? Go ahead and read it.
"Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power."
Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Thank you, Paul, for the songs that you chose today. Strength training, resistance training, is not fun. Is anybody here love resistance strength training? Does anybody here lift weights? Those two like it. You like it? Seriously, good for you. You like strength training too? Well, the only way to build muscle is by increasing the weight, right? So when, unfortunately, Phyllis and Jeff weren't able to be here this morning. They had to take Mandy, his daughter, up to the ER in Sioux Falls. But Phyllis has been going with me to water aerobics in Sioux Center. And I can tell you, if there wasn't that coach up front, that instructor, saying, "Come on, you can do it," both she and I would be walking out maybe 15 minutes before the class ended. We start huffing and puffing, and it starts getting hard. But how are we going to get stronger if we don't keep pressing on? We also have resistance training for temptation. As we're in the Word, and as we are following the Word, God helps us to resist temptation, doesn't he? There's temptation all around us. At my house, oh my goodness, I don't know where, well, let's see, Wayne's hiding, but where all those treats come from, but I seems to always find them. I think Karen, you used to send them home with Wayne, and I said, please don't, no more carbs, no more sweets. But God does give us, through the Holy Spirit, he gives us self-control where we can say no. Do you recall someone in the Bible that resisted temptation? Jesus did, didn't he? When he was in the desert, what did he use to resist temptation? He did fast for how many days? Do you remember? 40 days and 40 nights. Have any of you fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Me either, and I hope I never have to. It will be a forced fast, believe me. Okay, so he fasted. And then what did he tell the devil? When the devil tempted him, he'd say, "Here, you can turn those stones into bread." What did Jesus say?
"Challenge the Lord your God."
Don't test the Lord your God, right? So what was that? That was the word of God, wasn't it? That's how he resisted temptation. I better learn a good word to resist that temptation. How about Joseph? Joseph, the one that had the coat of many colors. What temptation did he, what was that? What temptation did he resist? Potiphar's wife. She came and tempted him. And what did he do? He ran away fast as he could. He'd been doing aerobics training. But what if he would have fallen? He could have just as easily thought, "And no one will see me." Did it turn out good for him when he resisted temptation? Eventually, but at first it didn't. He got thrown in prison because she lied. So sometimes when we do the right thing, we still get in trouble, don't we? But God is still for us. If the football team decided that this year, or maybe we should say the soccer team since they're on the way to state something. Yeah, what if they decided this year or next year, because they're so good, they wouldn't go to practices? Yeah. And what if they decided they didn't like their uniforms, so they decided to get tutus and tiaras instead? Wouldn't that be cuter? Maybe more girls would join. Anyway, but then they'd show up for the first game, and what would happen? They'd trip on their tutus, right? They'd lose their tiaras and nothing flat. We have to use the Lord's mighty power to build our strength. Okay, let's read Ephesians 6:11 together. You ready?
Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, that devil, he's a tricky guy, isn't he? When did he come on the scene? What's in the garden? And who did he tempt? Eve and Adam. And did they resist temptation? Nope. They wrecked it for all of us, didn't they? They fell. The whole world fell then. Well, it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Who is the thief in this verse? Satan. That's right. And who does this verse refer to when it says I? God or Jesus. That's right. Let's go to the next slide. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that's set out before us. And Ephesians 6:12. Do you want to try to read that one, honey?
For our struggle is not against enemies of blood in flesh, but against the rules, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places.
Thank you, sweetie. Okay, so the enemy tries to deceive us, doesn't he? He's a big liar. He always tries to trick us and tell us lies. He wants to deceive us into thinking that our battles are against maybe our spouse or our children or our siblings or our parents or your coworkers or the guy sitting next to you in the pew. But that's not true, is it? It's not true. Let's go to the next slide. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, because we look not at what we can be seen, but at what we cannot be seen. For what we can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Do you realize that there's more than what we can see in this world? Yeah, what else is around?
God.
God is around. I don't see God, do you? But you know he's here? Yeah.
Like the wind, you can't see it, but you can hear it.
It's like the wind, you can't see it, but you can hear it. We got some very smart kids here, don't we? So most of us can't see into the spiritual realm, but there are some people that are gifted into seeing in the spiritual realm. If God gave me a choice, I would say no, thank you. But we do have angels that watch over us. If you read in Psalm 91, it talks about the ministering spirits that are there to protect you. And unfortunately, there are those nasty angels that fell with Satan who are here to trip us up, right? Who are here to whisper in our ears and say, you should be naughty and eat that cookie. Right? Or don't do the dishes. Don't do what your mom and dad say. You're better than that. Or to make us jealous of somebody else when they have a new toy and we don't. And that enemy whispers in our ear, and then all that goes round and round in our head, doesn't it? We keep dwelling on it. That is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember that we are children of God and that we have his power available to us because we have accepted Jesus into our lives. Okay, Hazel, let's read Ephesians 6:13.
Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm.
Okay, we're supposed to take up the armor. And again, pretty soon we're going to have Wayne come out for real. And we all have this armor available to us, don't we? But we don't see it. And sometimes maybe we forget to put on all of the pieces. Okay. It says here, put it on now so you are ready for the evil day, so that you will be ready for the enemy's attacks and fight to the end and hold your ground. Standing firm is not allowing yourself to be swayed away from the truth. Stand firm on the foundation of Christ. That means that we have to stand on what's true. You know, when our kids were in high school or middle school, high school, they were teaching them that truth is relative. Are they still trying to teach you that, Josh? No? What? Not that you know of. You weren't there that day, right? No. But that's what they were trying to say. Truth is relative. You have your truth. I have my truth. Excuse me. There is one truth. And the truth is found in the Word of God. And if we don't have him to stand on this firm foundation, we can be wishy-washed into believing that the earth is flat. Seriously, does anybody believe that? Well, some people do, apparently. Amy gave me a desperation call many years ago when she was on a date with this guy. She was in the bathroom, and she goes, Mom, this guy thinks the earth is flat. And I was like, what? So, yeah, she hid in the bathroom. But honestly, then I looked it up, and there's a whole group of nuts out there that think the earth is flat. Those are the things We may not understand every single word that is in this word, but I am telling you, this is truth. If you don't have a plumb line, if you don't have something firm to stand on, then you're going to be tricked into believing any stupid lie. Okay, let's see where we might be. Let's see. Josie, would you go over and knock on that door and invite our special guest in? Either one. I think he's there. Oh, he came. He heard. Here he comes. Our special guest. Let's see, you might just want to stand over there because I think they'll see you better in all of your armor. Okay. You can't see him? Sure. You want to move the flowers so you can see him better? That's awesome. That's great. Well, does anybody recognize this guy? I never thought you'd guess who he was. It's a pretty good disguise, though, isn't it? Yeah, actually, this is on loan from our son-in-law, Jason, who's a pastor, and he gave a message several years ago on the armor, and he's all about it. He can tell you everything about every piece. Yes, Josie?
Is that a real sword?
It is. I was going to leave it home, but Jason said, no, you got to have the sword. No, you may not have it. This is why Wayne is holding the sword and wearing the armor. Okay, let me see if I can find where I am now. Okay, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Can you read that one for me, please?
Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil.
Okay, it said we needed to have the armor on so we would be ready when the evil day arrived. Well, I'll tell you what, this was written way back when, after Jesus rose from the dead, and they said it was an evil day then, and it's so much more now, right? So we have to be ready. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Again, stand on that firm foundation of Christ. Standing firm, again, is not allowing yourself to be swayed away from the truth. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Can you read the words, please?
Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you can see in the picture there how in the Bible times they wore long dresses, not just the girls, but the boys did too. And they had to tie up their skirts so that they could run and so that they could fight. See that last picture? It would be hard to run in the dress, wouldn't it? Or a tutu. So they are properly fitted. And the belt of truth is strong, and it keeps all of the armor in place. If we tied it with just a little string when they were running, it would break, and then his skirt would come down, and then he would trip on it, and it'd be a mess, wouldn't it? Okay, John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's a lot of religions in the world, aren't there? And they try to tell you that they're the only religion. But what's the only way to get to heaven? The only way is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And then Ephesians 6:15. Can you read that for me, Josie?
As shoes for the feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace.
Can you see Wayne's shoes? Maybe you have to come down here and kind of parade your shoes around. Yeah. Oh, you dropped something. We'll get that later. Maybe put it up on the altar, okay? So the shoes are, the shoes were made, they had like spikes on them, on the back of them, or on the bottom of them. So when the soldiers marched, they could plant themselves, and then when the enemy came, they'd put their shields all together so the enemy couldn't push them back, and they couldn't get through when the shields were touching. So they were pretty well protected. Well, what are the shoes? Do you know what it says in the Word about the shoes fitted with the gospel of peace? It says in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says, Zion, your God. Those people that bring good news, we have several of them that we give money to. In fact, we collected money for them today. What are they called? Missionaries, that's right. And as Don gave a word, we're all supposed to be missionaries, aren't we? Wherever we live, we're supposed to tell others about the gospel. And what is the gospel? God's word. And what's the good news in God's word?
Children of God.
Children of God. And how do we do that? How do we become children of God? By spreading the word. That's how somebody else becomes a child of God. But what are you going to tell them?
What are we going to say? Jesus lives.
Jesus lives, and he wants to be their Savior, right? If they don't know Jesus as their Savior, that's what they need in order to be children of God. Okay. See where we might be. Oh, yeah. Let's go to Ephesians 6:16. Whose turn is it to read?
With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
So, the flaming arrows of the evil one. Have you ever seen a flaming arrow coming at you from an evil one? No. Do you suppose they're invisible? Yeah. But do you suppose they're real? Yeah. They are real. They are what tries to trip us up and give up on our faith. But that's just a trick of the enemy. Because if we use our faith, who's our faith come from? God. That is right. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. Again, faith, we can't see faith, can we? But who gives us faith? God. Again, it's God. We don't have to work for faith. We just have to walk in it and practice it. Okay, from Matthew 17:20, it says, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Are some things impossible? Some things seem impossible, but are they impossible for God? No. Nothing is impossible for God. It does say it in a verse. How did the Israelites get from Egypt to the promised land? God, what did he do? Fire by day, cloud by night. What did he do?
He led them with a fire, with a pillar of fire in the night.
And how'd they get across that water? Did they take a boat? Did they swim? He parted the water, didn't he? That's impossible. No. Nothing's impossible with God. You're right. You are so right. Okay, let's do Ephesians 6:17. I believe it's your turn, Bennett.
Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Yeah, that's our tool, isn't it? That's our sharp tool. That looks like it would cut a big steak, right? Is it sharp, Wayne? Don't hurt yourself. It's a little dull. I hope it is. Okay, here we go. Imagine, I have some friends that tell me they imagine that they're putting the armor on every day. Which piece do you think is the most important? The Bible, that's a really important one. But I think there might be another. The shield is really important. It's the faith. The sword, yeah, we said the sword. The helmet. The helmet of salvation. If we aren't saved, if we don't have Jesus in our lives, in our heart, none of the armor is available to us, is it? No. So we need that helmet of salvation. A friend of mine, talked about a book that she was reading, and I got it, and it talks about the helmet of salvation. And she said, imagine yourself sitting down and holding that helmet, but hold it in your lap upside down. Now imagine that it's full to the top with the blood of Jesus. When you put that helmet on, what happens? It covers you, doesn't it? The blood of Jesus is available to us as we believe, to cover us, to wash us, to cleanse us from all sin. Tom talked about this morning how when we receive Christ, we become new creations. But then what happens? We forget. We forget, and we allow the enemy to get in our head and keep on telling us what's wrong with us and what's wrong with everybody else and what's wrong with the world and blah, 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 and everything's impossible, right? But that blood is available to wash us and cleanse us and set us free from all wickedness. Do you know that every piece of that armor is Jesus? Jesus gives us salvation with the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness. He is our righteousness. When we do good things, are they any good really? Said the righteousness of man is as filthy rags to God. We have to stand on his righteousness and his righteousness alone, or we won't make it to heaven. We can't be good enough. We can try, but we just can't. And the shield of faith, we need faith to believe all this, don't we? And the belt of truth holds it all together. And the shoes, we got to have shoes for the gospel of peace. Well, in Psalm 119, 11, it says, I treasure your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So that sword is mighty. That's what Jesus used in the wilderness, didn't he? He quoted to the enemy. That word is powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you wake up in the morning, do you know what? As the sun is coming up, what? As the sun is coming up, it says, say it again.
The birds are singing God's praises.
Yeah, God's mercies are new every morning. Did you cheat and look? Yeah. That's all right. His mercies aren't. It's like a new day. You get another chance to try again to be what God wants you to be. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. I believe that's where we are. No, not quite. I'm sorry. Galatians 3, 27 to 29 says, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And let's read Ephesians 6, 18. Do you guys want to all read it together?
Pray in the Spirit at all times, and in every prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints.
We're supposed to pray for all the saints. Do you know who all the saints are? All the saints are everyone that believes in Jesus. So we're supposed to be praying for each other and encouraging one another and lifting one another up. You know what? If we did that, if we prayed for everybody else, we would never have to worry about praying for ourselves because somebody else would be praying for us. Prayer is very important to God. It was important to Jesus. What did Jesus do right before he went to the cross? He prayed. He went to the garden of and he prayed. He wants us to be praying. Okay, let's go to the next slide. We can walk in the flesh. We can do things in our own strength. But who gets the glory when we do that? We do. We get a little pat on the back because we did something good, because we did it in the flesh. If we're walking according to the Spirit, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. There is, do you need your kids? we can succeed or we can fail. There's so many different things that we can do in the offensive. We can fast like we talked before, and this makes us more spiritually aware. We can forgive. We don't want to forgive. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We would rather have our own revenge, wouldn't we? But if we forgive, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, forgive them their trespasses as I forgive others. Do you want people to forgive you the way you forgive? I'd rather not. I'd rather do it how God does it. And love. What does God say about love? Just love your friends. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, strength, soul, and spirit. And love your neighbors as yourself. But he also says we're supposed to love our enemies. How are we supposed to do that? Through the power of God, through God's Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can do any of this stuff. Otherwise, our flesh gets in the way and we want to do things our way. How about giving? give till it hurts? It says in the word that we're supposed to give all that. Jesus told that one young ruler he had to give everything. People complain about giving a tithe. Do you know what? I have talked to a lot of people that have started tithing, and do you know not one of them told me that God failed them when they tithed? No, what I hear is, look how God blessed me after I started tithing. Wayne and I, so many years ago, because I was pregnant with Amy then. She's 37 now. We felt God urging us to tithe. That year, I received a $7 an hour raise. That doesn't happen. Only in the Spirit. God is faithful to his word. If you read his word, if you see his promises, he's faithful. Gratitude, how about that one? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. As you are thankful, it says you'll enter his courts with thanksgiving, his gates with praise. You want to live according to the Spirit and see the things that Moses saw. If you want to see supernatural, walk in the Spirit. Do things according to the Word. Stop doing them according to the flesh. Are you going to have problems and issues? Absolutely. Paul kind of was shipwrecked and all these flogged and all these different things. But he also was singing when he was in the prison. How could he have that joy? Only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's close in prayer. I've asked Roxanne to play a song by Phil Wickham. I want us to reflect and pray. And if you'd like a Roman soldier to pray for you, you're welcome to come up. But please think about this week, how you can walk in the Spirit and you can see victory, because we know that Jesus is our victor. He's already won the battle. Okay, Roxanne, thank you. Father, we just pray right now that you'll lead, guide, and direct us. Help us not to feel condemned, but just to see this as a joyful time that you're just calling us to be more. It says in your word that you have given us a hope and a future. Gregory just graduated, and he's got hope for a future. But each and every one of us, whether we're 7 or 70, has a hope in our future. Our hope is in heaven. Let's live our lives as though we were working for that battle.